Maybe you better offer a big silent prayer on my behalf. I am happy to stand before you this evening. As I was preparing, it's really a... I usually tell my kids how long the sermon's going to be or what I think, and I never guess right. Well, this one's going to be, I'm sure, very short. I have one point to make, and one point only. And I was wondering where this was all coming from. How come I was given this? And, you know, my wife and, inside joke, her best friend, go on their annual shopping trip about this time every year. And there is no doubt that they get a lot of discussion done. And as she was talking to me this evening, I realized that what I was going to preach about is exactly what they were discussing on the way home this evening. And it's something that I know is missing in our church. And it's something we're short of. We don't have enough of. And we don't have like we, I hate to use this, we don't have like we used to have. And you want to know what it is? You want to know what that is? No? It's exactly what I got on my face. It's a big grin and an attitude. It's a big grin and an attitude. We don't have that like I believe we have had in the past. I believe we're missing that. I believe that from time to time we're a little afraid to show that enthusiasm and that attitude that we should have, that we do have within us. I think from time to time we think we were afraid of looking like maybe members of some other churches who walk around and confess Jesus Christ and they have that attitude about them and that smile and that grin that too often we don't have in this congregation. And too often we don't carry with us out in the world. And if we don't carry it with us in this congregation, if we don't show that attitude, show that enthusiasm amongst ourselves, how are we going to show that enthusiasm to others? I want you to think about that just a little bit, and maybe more than just a little bit. You know, we've been given tools. We've been given tools that we might obtain eternal life. You and I have been given those tools. You and I have been given the tools to have unlimited happiness here. I want you to think about that. Unlimited joy here, now. Is that not true? I know it's true because it says so right in the scriptures. And that is God's purpose for us, to have that attitude and have that happiness and that joy within us. That's the way He wants us to be. And that is how He wants us to carry on our lives, showing that attitude. If you know that you've been given the tools and the opportunity and the church that you might obtain eternal life, if you know that you've been given the opportunities and the tools to have complete joy here, how does that make you feel? I tell you what, if you think about that and you don't have a grin on your face and a smile in your heart, then there is something missing. There is something dreadfully missing within you. If you just don't want to bust right now thinking about those things, there's something wrong. There's something wrong within us. How does that make me feel when I think about it? Marvelous. So if I don't walk around with a silly grin on my face, what's wrong? You know what's wrong? I'm not thinking about those things often enough. I'm not letting those things affect my life often enough. When you tell the Lord's blessing, if you tell someone of how the Lord's blessed you, of a healing, like I spoke this morning of my mother and the blessing she had, what pops on your face? Is it a frown? No, it's not a frown. It's a big grin, and it's culminates or develops from within, and the happiness and the joy that we need to have within. You know, some 31 years ago now, I started dating. Well, I guess it wasn't quite 31. Almost 30 years ago. No, 30 years ago, I started dating my wife. Thank you, dear. It'll be 29, the 16th that we were married. Okay. And I tell you, the first thing that I noticed about my wife was just what I'm talking to you about. She walks around, for the most part, 95% of the time, with that same grin that you see on her all the time. And it affected me. It affected me. Now, granted, other things affected me also about her. But that was the first thing that I really noticed, was the grin. And I know that that grin and that attitude that she had and still has was given to her and taught by her mother and her father. And I also know, without a doubt, that that same attitude and that same grin is what our Father in heaven wants us to have. It's infectious. I tell you what, your attitude of smiling, your attitude of thankfulness, your attitude of joy, and your attitude of happiness is infectious. And it makes people want to know. I always want to know, why has she got that grin on her face? But it makes people want to know, what is it? What is it within this people or that person that causes them to grin? Causes them to have joy. I want to turn into on the Book of Mormon. Probably y'all are know. This is on page 86. Y'all know what I'm going to read before I read it. Starting with the 115th verse, but I'm going to read down a little farther than what I normally read. Adam fell that men might be, and men are that what? That they might have joy. Now, I want you to think about that. That is true. Men are, we are, you are created that you might have joy. That you might have joy and that grin upon your face because of it. And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because they are redeemed from the fall, they have become free forever, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at that great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given, all things are given them which are expedient unto man. everything you need is given to you. Everything that is expedient unto man, everything that will cause you to have joy and happiness in your life is available. And it's given to you freely. Even at an urging by your Father, which is in heaven. It's true. What do you have to be happy about? Think about it. What do you have to be happy about? I'm going to turn into John, 15th chapter. Starting with the 8th verse. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is the commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you, everything. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What do you have to be happy about? That verse right there. That last statement that I made. Knowing that Jesus Christ chose you. Yes, he did. He chose you out of this world. He chose you to be his friend. And he chose you, and he is giving you everything that is expedient for you to have joy within your life and happiness within your life. What do you have to be happy about? That right there. Is that enough to cause you to just want to bust? Think about it. Is that not enough to cause you to just want to bust with happiness? Knowing that the King of Kings, the most important person that ever lived or ever will, chose you. I want to turn into 1 Peter. The second chapter. Just one verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Another statement. Can you read that without just wanting to bust? I don't think so. I don't think so. This is a chosen generation. And he's called me out of darkness. And he's called you out of darkness and placed you in a marvelous light. Why? So we can show forth praises. So we can let it show. So we can have that grin upon our face, so we can do what he would have us to do. And what is that? Not so much. Not so much. What is it? Share. Just share. Share what we've been given so abundantly, so greatly. That's all. I want to turn into 3 Nephi, the 9th chapter. Starting with the 20th verse. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them, and went a little way off from them, and bowed himself to the earth, and saith, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost to these whom I have chosen. Have you received the Holy Ghost? Yes, you have. Has Jesus Christ chosen you? Yes, he has. Is he talking to you? Is he meaning you here? Yes, he is. And it is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me, and thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them, and they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all they which shall believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, he came unto his disciples, and behold, they did still continue without ceasing to pray unto him. And they did not multiply many words, for it was given unto them what they should pray, and they were filled with desire. And it came to pass that Jesus beheld them, and they did pray unto him, and his countenance did what? That's right. His countenance did smile. His countenance did smile upon them, and the light of his countenance did shine upon them. Think about that. What was the light of his countenance? That was his smile that was showing his inner happiness, his inner joy, because of what these people were doing. And he could not hold it in. It showed through his countenance with a big grin, a big smile. And the light of his countenance did shine upon them, and behold, they were as white as the countenance, and also the garments of Jesus. And behold, the whiteness thereof did exceed all the whiteness. Yea, even there could be nothing upon the earth so white as the whiteness thereof. Are you happy? Think about that. Are you happy? It's the Lord's will. It's my will also, but more especially, it's the Lord's will that you show it. If you're, you know, we sing that, what's that song? If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands and stomp your feet and turn around and what does that say to you? What does that say to you? It tells me that the joy within me because of Jesus Christ, and you because of Jesus Christ, and what he has done and what he is going to do and what he continues to do, is too much to keep bottled up in a frown, and too much to be bottled up without us expressing it by either clapping our hands or stomping our, and I'm not advocating that now, okay? But I'm not telling you not to do it either. I'm not telling you not to do it either. I want to turn into the Bible, into James. First chapter. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variable, variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own he begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The very best. The very best. And what has he given us? The very best. The very best. Every good and perfect gift that we could ever imagine, we have right now. I'm going to turn for my final scripture into the third chapter of Ephesians. Starting with the first verse. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning is the, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ, to the intent and now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church and manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith in him, of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. I get a little tongue-tied. This is a prayer by one who was called out of the world, who was filled with his Spirit. And being filled with his Spirit and being filled with Christ's love and given tools and knowledge, all the tools and all the knowledge that the Lord had for him, and he has the same for us. And those tools will lead us to Jesus Christ and give us that love that is beyond comprehension, that will fill our hearts, that will cause us to have that attitude. That attitude of love that naturally, and I hope it naturally comes to your faces, to your countenances, that big grin. And I hope and I pray that we as a people and as individuals are going to think more fully and more wholly on what we have. Okay? And if we do that, I know those grins are going to be there. Instead of thinking about what we don't have. What we don't have. What's that song? Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Think about what God has given you. And the scriptures tell me, and I've just read it, that He has given us everything that is expedient unto man. Everything that will give us a fullness of joy. If we just reach out for Him. Thank you.